Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training. If you have a YouTube video on a blog, on a page, on a collection page, on a product page, it is 100% slowing down your site speed. You can use Pingdom is a great tool for this. Go run a page that has a YouTube video, then go into your site, remove the YouTube video, and run it again. We've seen from 6 seconds to 2 seconds, a huge jump in site speed. If you're on your phone as often as everyone else in the world is on your phone, and you go to a site and it doesn't load for 6 seconds, I promise you, you're leaving, right? You know that as well as I know that.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
SEO is, in fact, quite easy if we simply give Google what it wants. And SEO for e-commerce might be the easiest SEO to do. It's already set up for you to win when you run an e-commerce store. So I'm going to break this down for you step by step and show you the exact 4 steps and the little steps in between on how I rank e-commerce stores and how you can too. But I want to show you that I'm not just a bunch of hot air. I actually do this stuff myself. So here is a company I joined, and you can see the organic traffic before and after. And let's break down year by year. In the first year before I joined the company, 7% of users, 7,000 users, and $0 of revenue were attributed to organic traffic. Year one of me coming into the company and implementing SEO, just like I'm going to show you in this video, at the end of the year, 27% of users came from organic traffic, 76,000 people, clicks, and $854,000 in revenue were attributed to this channel. Year three, 43% of users. So year two, I'm with the company that we're doing this. 2 years into this, 43% of users, nearly 250,000 people, and $2,274,000 was attributed to organic traffic. Now, I'm not saying you are going to have the exact same results, but I am saying if you give Google what it wants, you're going to see results. Just don't fight the system. So let's work through these 4 steps, starting with number one, technical SEO. Now, what does technical SEO actually even mean? Well, if you go search it, you're going to get a bunch of different answers. I'll give you my definition, which is Shopify specifically and the themes you buy out of the box are built a certain way. And I think there are a few tweaks that I would make to nearly every theme in the Shopify marketplace or any theme that exists for Shopify so that you give Google a cleaner picture of your website. You give them more of what they want. Now, I'm literally going to walk you through the different things that we do inside of our course. There is some coding necessary here, and so you're likely going to need a developer on this. Simply show them this video. They're going to know exactly what I'm talking about, and they should be able to make these tweaks for you. Alternatively, in our course, we give you a copy of the Superstore theme from Out of the Sandbox as part of your course purchase, and we walk you through all of these as well. So hire a developer, join our course, whatever. These aren't that difficult. They just are a little bit of coding that is different in every single theme. So I don't want to give you the code because it'll look different in your theme, but it isn't that difficult for any developer to figure this stuff out. First things first, within collection, we want to remove this. Now, what is that? This is a product on Wellness Junction that you can see in the URL is within a collection. The URL is /collections/collection name/product/product name. Now, I can go to this exact product without that in there, and it's the same product as you see here. Now, if your product exists in multiple collections, you have many of these duplicate products on your site. That's a big no-no, and we want to simply get rid of all the duplicates, and everywhere that a link is given in our site, it points directly to the product. So again, if you're passing this off to a developer, have them go to your collection grid.liquid, collection grid, grid list. There's a lot of different names for this file, and have them adjust the link inside of this grid so that this link no longer goes to within collection. It's simply removing the within collection part and only goes to products. And by doing so, you will get all sorts of internal links to this page where you actually want the links going. You'll have no more duplicate content. It is a very simple fix, but one that is necessary on nearly every theme I've ever seen for Shopify. Number two is this custom vendor link. Now, if you hadn't changed this already, this automatically, for some reason, goes to /collections?? Vendor equals just a page that is made up. It doesn't need to exist on your site. They are there no matter what, but it doesn't need to exist. And so a little bit of code can get these links to go back to the appropriate brand collection. Again, you're going to need a developer for this. So I encourage you to find a developer to work through all of these technical specs. But getting this link changed is now no longer linking to a page that doesn't need to show up in your site. And it is actually linking to the thing that it's supporting. If you think about a hub and spoke model in SEO, which is just like your main page and all the supporting pages, this is why e-commerce is great. Your brand page and all the products should support that brand page. You're already set up to win in e-commerce. And so let's further make this better in Google's eyes by linking back to the hub, not to some random page. Number three is a human readable sitemap. So if I go down here and I click sitemap, again, this is custom coded to pull our collections and our products. And it is simply a page that exists for Google's benefit, where we can put our information, we can put our blogs in here. This is something that likely no one will ever see on your site. We create it, we put a link in the footer, and that's it. We ask Google to index it. Now, you might be thinking of a different sitemap that Google's asking for in your search console, which is yoursite.com/sitemap.xml. Shopify automatically creates this for you. That's the one you should submit to Search Console. This one is simply for Google. They asked for it. Let's just give it to them. Again, we're just going to give Google what it wants. Next is no indexing. So if we go look at a page, like these two are policy pages, so that's not a good example, but here's your shipping and returns page or your contact us page. There are many different pages on your site that likely need to be no indexed. If you think of every page on your site as a cup, you have 200 pages on your site, you don't have 200 cups, put them out on the table in front of you. Now grab your domain authority or your domain rating or whatever you like to use to measure what Google thinks of your domain and pour that into your cups. You're likely going to have very little water in all of these cups. Now, what if we could remove some of those cups? That comes by no indexing. So I think this people get a little confused here on what they should no index. But if you think about your contact us, your about us, your shipping pages, there's a bunch of pages on your site that need to exist. They need to be on your site, but no one's going to Google and searching your site shipping policy, your site about us. They don't need to show up in Google's index. And so we can no index them. They could still be on our site, but no index. Again, this is a little bit of code. In our course, we teach a way to put a meta field in there. So you can just put a one or a zero. And you're going to want to no index some of these pages. I would encourage you to do a little further than that. If you've been around a while, and go do an audit of all of your pages, blogs, products, collections. You likely have a ton that you don't use anymore. You don't need anymore. They are orphan, meaning they exist, but you don't link to them anywhere on your site. And just get rid of them. Delete and redirect somewhere more important sometimes just your homepage. No index the pages that don't need to exist. And you will see your footprint slowly go down and the water level on your authority go up. Every single page will start to rank a little bit better because you removed some of these pages that don't need to exist. Again, get a developer's help. I have personally got this code wrong and no indexed an entire site for a week until I figured it out. Get a developer's help with this one. Next up is a piece of code, a canonical script is what we're calling it. So when you have a collection that has many, 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 many products in it, you're going to end up getting these pages, right? So /collection/collection name, you're on page one right away. Then you click page two, it'll say /collection/collection name, page equals two and three and four and so on. All of those pages become a unique page to Google if we don't put this little piece of code in there that simply says page two equals page one, page three equals page one. Now, this happens also with tags. So you're going to use tags in your business in Shopify, and each tag you create now creates a tagged collection that we want to tell Google, hey, don't index that. That's the same as the main collection. So it's a little piece of code. Again, you're going to need a developer's help. That's the theme of this technical SEO section, but you can find this on Upwork, on Fiverr for pretty cheap, or alternatively, again, we give away all of that inside of our course for the Superstore theme. Next up is rogue H tags. And I actually found some in preparation for this video. I use SEO Minion to analyze the on-page SEO. And here it is. It gives you all of your H tags on the page. Now, H tags are the most important thing to Google. They tell Google what your page is about. We should have one H1, probably should have one H2. That's how I like to do it. And maybe some H3s. But themes out of the box come with rogue H2s. There's also like chevron down icons. So like on mobile, you'll see some of these things stacked in my footer. Our company, our policies, add to cart has one of these. All of these things are H tags for some reason. And if they weren't H tags, we would in fact rank better. So I've noticed this more on home pages, but I'm seeing some right here on a product page. What you're going to want to do, again, reach out to the developer and say, hey, why are these all H tags? I don't want them to be H tags. Now, here's the catch. A lot of people like to use H-tags for visual reasons. They're like, I want some big, bold text on my page. I can do that by choosing it as an H1 or an H2. It'll get big. But again, as we'll learn in the on-page SEO section, you don't want to send bad signals to Google with your H-tags. If you want something big and bold, it doesn't need to be an H-tag. You can just, again, have a developer help you increase the size of that text so that it looks big, but it's not an H-tag. We need to use our H-tags for the good of our site, which is sending the right signals to Google. And so we need to remove these rogue H-tags. There are some in every single theme. I don't want to be specific here, but I promise you, download SEO Minion. It's part of Keywords Everywhere, a great tool. And analyze your on-page SEO in your Shopify store. I bet you find some rogue H-tags inside of your site. Last but not least in technical SEO is lazy loading your YouTube videos. So if you have a YouTube video on a blog, on a page, on a collection page, on a product page, it is 100% slowing down your site speed. You can use Pingdom is a great tool for this. Go run a page that has a YouTube video, then go into your site, remove the YouTube video, and run it again. We've seen from 6 seconds to 2 seconds, a huge jump in site speed. If you're on your phone as often as everyone else in the world is on your phone, and you go to a site and it doesn't load for 6 seconds, I promise you, you're leaving, right? You know that as well as I know that. No one has time for that. And so if we can lazy load those YouTube videos, which simply means they don't load until someone clicks on them, we can load the image so it looks like it, but the video doesn't pull JavaScript. It doesn't ping YouTube for any reason until the user clicks play. And when user clicks play, then you'll see it like, you know, fire up and spin and get ready to play. All of that doesn't need to happen on page load. It should happen when someone clicks the video. So we have some custom code for this. You will definitely need a developer. All of these things that I just went through, you're going to need a developer's help with. Within collection, custom vendor link, human readable sitemap, no index, canonical tags, rogue H tags, and lazy loading your YouTube videos. If you do all of these things, you're already giving a cleaner look into your site to Google. It's faster. I promise you these things will help and they are worth hiring a one-time developer to come in here, watch this video, and knock all of these things out. Next up is keyword research. And what I want to get across in keyword research is simply that you should follow this rule. One keyword, one page. What I see too often from anyone doing e-commerce SEO is they try to put more keywords on a page than should exist. So think about this. If your product or collection page or article should rank for one keyword, that's going to be your title almost exclusively, right? Whether it's a question you found, whether it's a four keyword like air purifier for mold, whether it's a product, the Austin Air Better Machine, that's the keyword for the page. So we don't want to try to shove in some other keywords that we went to Google, we found volume in their keyword planner or whatever, whatever reason you could find to say, well, I would like this page to rank for other keywords, throw it out. That's not going to happen. One keyword, one page. So when you find the keyword for your specific page, and we'll talk about intent here in a second, that's the only keyword for which you should try to rank that page. Now, this comes with what I call the one keyword, one page bundle. If I'm doing keyword research for the Austin Air Better Machine Air Purifier, I'm likely going to find that this search term has volume, right? Austin Air Better Machine. Better Machine Air Purifier has volume. Simply just Better Machine has volume. Austin Better Machine has volume, and there's a few others as well. And you might find the same thing in your process. If you go search any one of those that I just showed you, you get the exact same results in Google. That clearly means they are part of the one keyword, one page bundle. So you can see how I sprinkled them throughout here. The title kind of hits a bunch all mingled together. This is the obvious keyword for this brand, this product, brand name, product name, product type. Pretty obvious for this one, right? And we hit a variation in the H2. We hit a variation in the H3. This is how I'm sprinkling the different one keyword, one page bundle. Now, if I were to say, oh, I really want this to also rank for air purifiers for allergies, I might try to shove that in here. Get a healthy night's sleep with the Better Machine that can help you with your air purifier for allergies. This is what I see too many people do. They try to shove in more keywords. I'm telling you, one keyword, one page is where you need to stick to in this process of keyword research. Find the bundle for the page and only use those keywords on the page. Do not try to shove other keywords. If you have another page that has a keyword in the H1, don't try to shove that in another page. This page should rank for this keyword, not somewhere ancillary on this other page where you shoved it into a headline. One keyword, one page. Second is intent. If you go search any keyword you find in Google and you see 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10 of the results are products, you should make a product page. If you see 5 out of 10 or more that are collection pages, you should make a collection page for that keyword. If you see that Google is returning informational type pages like a blog or a listicle, you should give them a blog or a listicle for that. Too many people try to force what they believe a page should be into Google, and you should just simply give Google what it wants. So once you found your one keyword, one page bundle, go to Google and search them. Are you getting products? Make a product page. Are you getting collections? Make a collection page. Don't break these rules. If you follow these rules, you're going to give Google exactly what it wants. Find the bundle of keywords that are all together that help make the whole page relevant to each other. Fantastic, right? And you'll probably find more in your Google Ads and your Search Console as you go along that you can sprinkle back into the content. Match intent. Don't try to rank a product page for something Google wants a collection page for. Don't try to rank a collection page for a keyword for which Google wants a product page. It's as simple as that. And lastly, collections are your friend. As you're doing this research, you're going to stumble into some absolute gold on collections when it is product type for blank, air purifiers for mold, or adjective product type, rectangle, fire pit, square, fire pit. You're going to find these keywords throughout your retail e-commerce journey here, and they are absolute gold. Collection pages are absolute gold. And I would challenge you to say, when you're retailing other products, versus keywords are also gold. So product versus product, brand versus brand. Inside of a brand, people might be comparing two different products inside of one brand versus keywords are gold. But you can product versus product, brand versus brand, product type versus product type. There's all sorts of versus keywords that are super bottom of the funnel. These are people comparing things ready to buy. And you can immediately hop in front of them with these comparison articles and the collections that you found. Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, I was binging podcasts, probably like you're doing right now. And the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you. At dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, you can see a free training where John walks you through one of our businesses and shows you what the site looks like, what the process is for setting up one of these stores, and how you can take your next steps to setting up your own high-ticket dropshipping business. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training. All right, let's move to on-page SEO. And this is important because you're trying to send a picture to Google of what the page is about. And we can do that through a few different things that I think are pretty important. So I'm going to share my screen one more time. We'll walk through these one by one. So here we are on the Better Machine. Now, products are easy for this very first one because whatever you put here is an H1. In fact, everything you do on Shopify, your title is going to be the H1, and the rule I want to get across to you is one H1. Do not put more than one H1 on the page. In fact, for me, I like to do one H1 and one H2, and I don't duplicate them. Too often, I see people who would put this as the H1, and they'll start their description with the same thing as an H2. Use a variation. I'll give you another example. I used to sell glucosamine for cats. In fact, we named our product glucosamine for cats. If you go search glucosamine for cats, you'll also see the term cat glucosamine show up. Same term. One has more volume than the other. So we named our product glucosamine for cats, and we put the word cat glucosamine in the H2. We did the same thing on this page that you're seeing. Austin Air Better Machine Air Purifier as the H1 and Better Machine in the H2, right? And Austin Better Machine in the H3. Again, one H1, one H2, a few different H3s if you'd like to. I think that this is a simple rule that is too often broken. One H1. One H1 on every single page. You cannot have more than one H1 on any page. Next up is your URL structure. Whatever page you're on, your URL should be the keyword for which you're trying to rank the page, which should also probably be your H1. So nail your H1 and you're likely going to nail your URL. Now, some of you might already have some products up. You got to go readjust. When you go change the product title because you did better keyword research, change the URL and redirect it. And don't feel bad about it. Get it right. This will help immensely, I promise you. The next thing you want to do on page is change your image file names and alt tags. So grab that keyword bundle and we're going to sprinkle them into images and alt tags, image file names and alt tags, whether that be up at the top or in the description, in your collection, wherever they may be. This is likely going to be called Austin Air Better Machine Air Purifier in Black Front View. That's the file name. That's the alt tag. Very simple, right? And this one, what do you think it'll be? Austin Air Better Machine Air Purifier in Midnight Blue Front View or something like that, or Front View of the Better Machine Air Purifier, right? Again, sprinkling other keywords in here. We have Austin Better Machine, so you might have this one say Austin Better Machine Right Side View Midnight Blue, something like that. You're inevitably going to hit these keywords because you're talking about the product in question or the blog in question, things like that. So don't keyword stuff. Describe the image as best you possibly can while also including the keyword. Very, very simple, but something people get very, very wrong. And I'll tell you where else they get it wrong. If they reuse an image in Shopify, it changes. So if I use this image on some other page and I put a different alt tag and file name in there, it changes this one. So don't reuse images. If you need to reuse an image, which is fine, re-upload it as a separate image with a separate file name, separate alt tag. So build this into your SOPs as you upload products, and you won't have to worry about this. Going back and changing them is a bit of a task, but it is very necessary to do for on-page SEO. The next thing I want to talk about is unique content. Too often I see in retail e-commerce, people go to the brand site and simply copy and paste and put it on their own site. Number one, no customer wants to see the same description on 10 different sites. How does that help anyone make a purchasing decision? And number two, it's simply duplicate content to Google. Google is just going to ignore you. They likely won't index the page in question because they've seen this content before. What value does it bring their customers if they put the same exact page up? So we can counteract that by simply getting our headlines right. That'll look different already. But what if we actually wrote to the customer? If you read the first line of our description, do you wake up with a dry throat or stuffy nose? Or does your loved one snoring wake you up each night, resulting in restless sleep? This is very different than the supplier. Typically, what you'll get from a supplier is, the better machine does blank. The better machine is blah. Blah, 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 blah. It's very not good, honestly. Most suppliers are not good at writing copy. And you might not be either, but we have wonderful tools like Claude, like ChatGPT to help us brainstorm and help us write in the tone and solve problems. Again, we're trying to solve problems here. So rewrite your content. Make it unique. Do your best you can to write unique content for every page on your site. Yep, I know that's a lot of work, but do you want to win or do you want to just try to get by and make some sales? I want to win. I don't know about you. And so take the time to get after this. All right, here's a real easy win. It's on every single product page, whether you're using Stamped or Judged or Rapid Reviews, which is the three we show you in the course when we do this one. A keyword that you'll likely find on every single product you have is product name reviews. We can hit that in this H tag here by simply editing some code. So whether you're using Stamped, whether you're using Rapid Reviews, or whether you're using Judge.me, which is kind of, it was built in there at one point. You're welcome. I did that actually. You can get this changed. And if you don't know how to change it, reach out to your app developer and say, this is what I want it to say. How do I make that happen? They'll happily help you. Again, this just says in the back end, product title. So it's just pulling the product title and adding the word reviews after it for our review widget. So rather than customer reviews, it's hitting another keyword for us. And the last part of on-page SEO that I'll tell you, I told you to make collection pages. You need to make them short. So we made this one prior to the updates that happened here this year. And Google used to want these big pages. In fact, I would challenge you that a customer wants these big pages, but Google no longer does. So no matter what you read on X or heard from somebody, go test it yourself. When we had this page before the last updates, we ranked number one for this. And I like ranking number one. After the updates, we no longer rank there. And I would challenge you that I should remove this and likely only have this much text here and get people to here to shop. And that's what Google wants. So that's what I'm doing on all of my businesses currently. 150 characters, H1, 150 characters, H2, carousel. We're hitting all of the one keyword, one page bundle within those 150 characters. We're solving problems inside of that 150 as best we can. And maybe, just maybe, we'll throw some FAQs down at the bottom if they are necessary here. But Google wants people to land here and shop. And so let's let them shop. Again, I would challenge you, and this is going to come up a lot for you. I would challenge you that no one knows the difference between these. And so actually sending them here with no content is doing them a disservice. Whereas if we actually broke it out and talked about them, that would be helpful. But again, that's what I want, not what Google wants. And so fuck your bias is something somebody told me a long time ago. I agree. Don't worry about what you want or what you think your customers want. Give Google what it wants if you want the traffic. You can build this beautiful page and maybe people will get here if they get to your site, but they're not going to get here if you don't give Google what it wants. So I should reduce this and we will in the future. And you should too. You should create 150 characters, H1, 150 characters, H2 for your on-page on collections. And I promise you, they will immediately start ranking if you hit that bundle correctly. That's a very, very important. Hit your bundle. One keyword, one page. All right. I saved the fourth one here for last for a reason. That is off-page SEO, and that is simply links. Links are the most powerful ranking signal that exists, hands down. I don't care what Google says. It hands down, it's links. However, there are way more bad links on the internet than there are good ones. And there are tons and tons of scammy agencies and scammy people on Upwork and Fiverr who think, maybe they think they're doing a good job, but I promise you they're not doing a good job. Not all links are created the same. Bad links are everywhere, as I mentioned. And one awesome link will move the needle on your business 100x more than 100 mediocre or poor links. So the going standard nowadays, if you go talk to an agency, is let's make sure the site from which you're getting a link has 1,000 traffic a month. That's a really low bar. And honestly, it's not something I want to be associated with. If a site was good, they'd be getting more than 1,000 traffic a month. In fact, they would be ranking for keywords that Google would assign a cost per click value to. So you can see that in Keyword Planner. You can see that in Ahrefs. If a site is ranking for keywords that are valuable, then inherently they are valuable as a site and I want a link from them. Now, I should get them in my industry. If I'm selling pellet grills, I should get them in the barbecue industry. If I'm selling air purifiers, I should get them somewhere in the health industry. Like, ideally, you want relevant links. But more important than anything, and I learned this from Grindstone SEO, maybe you could follow him on X, he's a goat, you want a site that is valuable. And I promise you, the valuable sites will move the needle far more than the invaluable ones. And you can go find the shitty links everywhere. There are lots of agencies that will happily go build you links that are terrible. If you get a link from someone and you go look at them and they have more outbound links, meaning they're linking out more often than they get a link, that's a link farm. You don't want a link from there. And so if it sounds too good to be true, it definitely is. There are very few, and I mean, I can count on one hand, probably on a couple fingers, agencies I would recommend to go get you links right now. I think you can do this yourself, and you should do it via building relationships. And don't worry about it until you need to worry about it. You're going to build these relationships anyway in your industry, and naturally good links are going to come your way. You should focus on the technical, the keyword research, and the on-page, and I promise you, you will see magnificent results if you nail that. And then when you nail that, you're inevitably going to start getting good links, and you're going to rise right to the top on some of these things the moment you start getting some good links. And you can go find the good links yourself if you don't want to wait. And many people are offering decent links. They're all offering them for a price tag. That's just how the internet works. And Google says, don't buy links. Well, that's how most of the internet works, unfortunately. I challenge you to say you can go build relationships in your industry that will provide you those powerful links you're looking for. Easy win right off the top. Every brand that you sell, if they have a dealer locator or dealer list on their website, go get on that list. Get a link back to that brand's collection page. You could also submit a review to them that they could post on their site that conveniently has a link to your site. You could write a blog post for them. Your vendor should be the first place you look to go get good links. And then after that, start building relationships within your industry. I want to give you one note of caution. There are tools galore in this space. Tools galore. They're everywhere and you don't need them. I genuinely mean that. Most of the keyword research I do is using Keywords Everywhere and SEO Minion, which is a very inexpensive Chrome extension, and using the Google search bar. I'm literally just typing stuff in Google, product type, and then hitting the letter A and seeing what fills in. What fills in? C, what fills in? Again, if it fills in only the last word when I search something, that's not a search term. But if I put in product type in the letter A and it fills in a whole phrase, even if it says zero volume, that's a phrase people are searching. That's how I do my keyword research. And I don't think you need all these tools. There are tools that'll get you in trouble, over-optimizing tools that'll tell you to insert the main keyword 67 times on the page and hit this keyword and hit that one. Don't do that. Don't over-optimize. Again, give Google what it wants, and I promise you'll be rewarded. And so what does that actually look like? It looks like a big inflection on your Search Console. We recently tore down a site and brought it back to baseline here. Just got all the keywords right on all of the products. Got rid of half the collections. I told you most sites have too much stuff going on. We got rid of half the collections, readjusted the keywords they're showing up for, and 150 characters, H1, 150 characters, H2. No blog posts, no nothing. Just all the right collections, all the products correctly done, all the technical SEO done, and we doubled our traffic in the first 28 days afterwards. I mean, look at this photo. Look at this straight up at the end as we made these fixes and asked Google to come take another look at our site. That's it. Do these four steps and you will be rewarded. More importantly, do them right. Give Google what it wants. Knock out your technical SEO. Do good keyword research. It takes a little bit of time, but it's worth it. Find your bundle, apply that to your on page, and then sprinkle in some good links based on the relationships you have. And you will find out that what I said at the top, SEO is quite easy, is true. So I challenge you to get after this. If you want to do what we do inside of our course, dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, you can watch a training there as John walks you through one of our sites. I'm literally doing the SEO on that site as we speak. So I bet when you see the training and you see the live site, it's going to look a little bit different because I'm working on it. And so I challenge you, go work on your site too. SEO isn't that hard. It is the biggest marketing channel that exists. You will get the majority of your traffic from there if you do this right. So I just challenge you to get after it. Start doing this. It's not as hard as it looks. It's not magic. Follow the system and we'll see you at the top of the results.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.